All right, Never Nation, we have got big news.
Big.
Very big. We've got merch.
Merch alert.
Yep. That's the only noise that we're going to make now. Is merch alert. Merch alert. So if you want to profess your love on a very public scale for Never Thought I'd Say This, now you can have t-shirts, mugs, tote bags, and my favorite is the hoodies.
Hoodies.
They're so soft. Yep. We've got a black one that has hashtag trauma bonded on it. We've got a white one with the Never Thought I'd Say This logo. You can sit in your hoodie, drink your coffee out of a mug with a t-shirt underneath, with your tote bag over your arm, and
listen to our podcast.
Listen to, yes, just at home or in your car.
Doesn't
whatever.
Matter.
Nope, doesn't matter. But yeah, go to unsweetened.com. That's unsweetened.com. And that's where you'll find the Never Thought I'd Say This merch. And you too can become a walking billboard for the Never Nation.
And send us some pictures of you in the merch. And we would love to see them. So, you know, just be... keep rocking it with the Never Nation stuff and wear the merch. Merch alert!
Welcome to another episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am your host, Jody Sweeten, along with...
Celia Behar.
Welcome, my friend.
Thanks. We're already.
I don't know what's going to happen today. I'm just
both of us.
I'm going to put that out there. I can't.
We're already laughing so hard. We're crying at nothing. First of all,
I hate everyone.
Oh my god.
I'm not even PMS-y. I'm post-MS-y, and I want to stab people in the eye.
I'm MS-y, so I think everyone hates me, and I also have no control over my body for some reason.
Oh,
and
fantastic!
Emily just said to push me back from the mic. Because apparently I was going to make out with it. I don't know.
It's because you're very loud.
I'm very loud.
It's all right.
I know. It's a problem. I'm Jewish. It happens.
I don't know what that had to do with it, but
Jews are loud. Everybody knows that.
Okay.
Especially Jewish mothers. Like a vault. Like that's what we said, you know.
I know. I'm not denying your loudness or your Jewiness. Both of those you have. I'm going to give you
L'chaim.
Those.
Yeah. Fantastic. Oh, God. We have a guest.
We do. I was going to read out our parenting stats, but I feel like at this point people know I have two kids, Zoe and Beatrix, who are 11 and 9.
And I have Harper and Lulu who are, I don't even remember anymore, 12 and 8.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they just had birthdays, so it's fair.
Well, one of them did. Harper is going to be 13.
That's true. Harper's going to be, So I'll give you that. You're already thinking she's going to be 13 and you forgot.
I'm already thinking that she should move someplace else. These hormones are killing me.
Ugh.
They're killing me. She had a tantrum so hard the other night, she passed out in her bed. It was actually kind of glorious.
haven't we all done that though? Yeah. You just cried so hard, you just
passed out. Yep. Yep. It was great. Well, our guest also has kids. And Jill is going to introduce herself.
That was the worst intro of a guest ever. And you're hitting Emily.
And I'm just going to sit on my hands and shut up.
Just don't move.
Okay.
Okay. Shh. We have a guest.
Yes.
Hi. Welcome to our guest. would you like to introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be a part of our crazy little Never Thought I'd Say This episode?
She's trying to figure out how she gets out of this now.
Oh, my God. My name is Jill Trinchero, and I met Celia through the cannabis industry in Oregon.
Yeah.
And we immediately loved each other because we were both late.
Yeah.
To our first.
I tracked you down because I'd heard great things. Jill makes microdosing edibles, like cookies and stuff. And I'd heard amazing things about her from someone that we both know. And then I basically like tracked you down and I was like, I want to make you a mama panora on the Little Mama's website. And you were like, who the fuck are you? How did you find me? And then you were like, all right, maybe she's not a serial killer.
Yeah, the jury's still out on that
one. Yeah, it's true.
I'm not sure.
It's true.
I'm up for anything.
Yeah. Welcome to our show then, because that's what's going to happen.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So I have a cannabis business and God help me.
Well, what's your Never Thought I'd Say This? Because that's what it is. I know.
Never thought I'd say I'd have a legal cannabis business.
As a mom of two.
As a mother of two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
How did so? For those of you that don't know, Celia is a pretty big advocate in the cannabis industry for its use for
PPD and postpartum or prepartum depression before you get pregnant, not when you are. I'm not going to touch that. You can also use it for PTSD and, you know, anxiety in general. I used it for postpartum depression and anxiety and found that I had great success with it, where I did not have success with pharmaceuticals. And so it really helped me. And I still use it for anxiety. I was on different SSRIs throughout my 20s. And then when I found cannabis, I got off of my SSRIs. I do not say that as a hit on SSRIs or any pharmaceutical. It's just what worked for me. To not be on a pharmaceutical was better. My body works better with cannabis, but, and I think I'm not alone there. So yeah. I started advocating, and a lot of people don't like me for it, but oh well.
So Jill, you said you're a mother of two. How old are your kids?
I have two girls, 16 and 14.
Okay.
Yep.
And oh, so you are in the thick of the fun teenage.
They are so sweet, though.
I love them so much. I actually like them more as teenagers than I did as babies because they're not as needy.
True. True. I think we're all kind of getting to that place with the older ones where it's there. As much as the hormones and stuff are like crazy right now, of course, ours are younger. So it's like the beginning of the hormones, which is just psychotic.
Yeah.
But I think it there is something to be said. It is nice. Like the other morning I slept in. I just had a crazy work week. And I knew, I was like, they can feed themselves. Yeah. They'll get themselves some breakfast. They'll watch some TV. They're fine. They're, you know, no one's going to injure themselves or get, like, there is something that's
one
sort
of
nicer.
One might hit the other, but they'll get over it.
I'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it is, there is something nice about when they get a little bit older.
Yeah. And Isabella and Lola.
I'm Isabella is 16. Yeah. Izzy, she's driving, which is terrifying.
My God.
And really exciting because
I'm not prepared for that.
Oh God, it's horrible. Oh my God. I remember her driving my friends and myself to the airport and we all piled out of the car and I watched her drive away alone in the vehicle for the very first time.
Oh my God.
And I was like plastered up against the window, like panicking. And my friends are like, come on, let's go.
Oh, yeah. I haven't thought about that either.
Oh,
wait,
no.
Is she a good driver? Do you feel like she's a good driver, though?
She is a good driver. I let her drive my car, which is pretty special.
Yeah.
You know,
and new.
I don't really like, you know, I can't help it. I have to let her borrow my car. So right. I just,
My kids are getting the minivan when they're like, well, I'm just going to hold on to that minivan for like another 10 years. And that's what you're getting is the minivan.
Getting a little
welcome
red wagon.
And,
that's it.
And Zoe, you have to drive your sister around in it. So ta-da.
She's going to thrill Rachel. She's laughing in the corner because she full on knows that's never going to happen.
Well, luckily there's three rows. So really B can sit all the way in the back and Zoe can be in the front. It's like they're in different vehicles.
They can put a partition up and never even see each other. It'd be perfect.
I wish.
Yeah, I think that you should definitely save an old car for your child.
Yeah.
That's the best way to go.
Yeah.
But Izzy, 16, Lola, 14. Lola just started high school.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're great. They're amazing.
They are really good kids. I've been at her house many times around her kids and they're so sweet and well-behaved and they clean up after themselves and they always like greet me. And whenever I'm there, they're super nice. I really hold them like very high in their manners. Like they're just good kids to the point where usually I come home and look at mine. I'm like, why? Why? What am I doing wrong?
Well, that's a really nice compliment. And I actually attribute all of their manners and anything that they do well to their preschool, which was Montessori.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Miss Amanda taught them how to shake hands and introduce themselves and do every single thing that they possibly do right.
My kids are very good at that. And, you know, they're not shy little people. And so they're definitely good at introducing and doing all that, which is – it's like really important. And
yeah, it is.
When you meet kids that like don't know how to, you're like, what? hello? Like,
what? Or don't make eye contact. And as a therapist, as soon as I meet a kid that won't make eye contact right away, I'm like,
stop
off.
Staring at me. Okay. It's making me
too much.
I'm right away like diagnosing. Like, I'm like, are they just rude or are they on the spectrum? Like, I can't. Do their parents know? Like, right. I'm an ABA therapist. Maybe right. I need to do an intervention. I'm not sure. Then mine.
You're in line at Starbucks, Celia. Calm down.
I know. It's like really an issue. I have to get myself in check.
So, Jill, tell us. So Celia said that you have your never thought I'd say this, and that it was
Her cannabis thing. Yes, that she ended up. You know, you made this company, but I know why you ended up making. And you should say the name of it. I always say SDK, but I know it's She Don't Know Snacks.
Yes, still. SDK stands for She Don't Know, and that is a lot of people wonder what the hell She Don't Know means, and it's really about enlightenment. The first step to enlightenment is admitting you don't know,
which I love.
Yeah. So,
well then, you know, I should be fucking Buddha and levitating out of my chair because I feel
you're
like
really
I know
good parents. Then.
Today I know nothing. My own name is a struggle. Yeah.
Why did you end up doing the microdosing? And anyone who doesn't know, microdosing means very low doses of cannabis or other drugs for that matter. And Jill makes these 5 milligram cookies and used to make crackers, but you're not doing those anymore, right?
Yeah.
These cookies that taste amazing and they're very, very, very low dose. And so for me, when I'm super stressed out, I can eat an entire one and I don't have to worry about feeling off my rocker because it just calms me down. I feel normal, like how I think most people maybe feel all the time that don't struggle with anxiety. And they were a game changer, honestly, for me. And I'd never had an edible before you because I was super scared that it was going to make me feel really high and I don't like to be high at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Too much of an edible can ruin the party for sure.
I'm going to talk about therapy again.
Oh, I love when you talk about therapy.
You do, right?
I do, because I am also a lover of therapy and of therapists.
Because you love me.
Yay.
Listen, we all need someone to talk to and someone who can support us through rough patches or even just everyday ups and downs. And that is where Talkspace can come in.
Hmm.
Yeah, Talkspace is therapy for how we live today. I'm glad I could say that. It's mobile, it's available when you need it, and it's affordable. You know,
those are all the things that I feel like prevent people from going to therapy.
I agree. You know? I agree.
Don't have the time. They can't do it on their schedule.
Right. And this way, Talkspace is online therapy and it makes taking care of your mental health more affordable and more convenient than ever before. You just have to provide your preferences for therapy and then Talkspace will match you with one of 5,000 plus therapists that very same day. You can send your therapist unlimited text, audio, picture, or video message from anywhere at any time. And then you just know that no matter what you're going through, you're not alone. You can join more than 1 million people who have started using Talkspace and now feel happier.
That's great.
Yeah, I think it's really great. You know, finding the right therapist doesn't have to be stressful. And then Talkspace gets to match you to your unique preferences. And then, you know, you find someone that really matches your needs. So I just think it's a really great way to start therapy if you've never done it before.
Well, finding the right therapist is always key.
It is. And it's, you know, convenient and easy to use. And you don't have to wait for your next appointment if you need to talk to your therapist. You just go and send them a message and then you know what you're going to talk about.
Sometimes you can't wait a week.
It's very, very true. And it's super affordable. 1 month of therapy on Talkspace platform costs about the same amount as a single face-to-face session. And best of all, you really never have to wait to share what's on your mind. And if you want to try Talkspace, then, you know, you can do that. Talkspace has more than 5,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing the challenges that we all face. To match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code SAYTHIS to get $65 off of your first month. And then you can show your love and support for our show. That is Say This, and you just go to Talkspace.com.
Go talk it out, yo.
I was at a music festival, a multiple day music festival. I was camping, sleeping on the floor of my tent.
How long ago was this?
It was in my early 20s, okay. And I'm 150 years old. So It's a long time ago. Yesterday, I was accused of being
my mom. You Celia's said it. Mom. You told the guy that you were my mom, and then he believed you for some stupid reason. Whatever.
Well, because I look like your mom.
No, you.
Ugh. So I'm not. Though.
I'm her mom.
I'm pretty sure that that's not Bonnie.
No, you've met Bonnie.
Because you're here.
Yes.
So.
Right. If my mom was here, I would not be.
Yeah, right, yeah, right.
Anyhow,
right. So
back to your
besides
festival.
The point. So many years ago, in my 20s, before I had kids, before I was married, went to this music festival, and somebody in just passing by was selling ganja goo balls, and I was up for anything. Like I said, so
this sounds like the start of a bad idea.
Yeah.
So
I only know because I've had a few bad ideas in my life. So this is usually how they start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the ganja goo ball was, I took a bite of it, which was about half, which was probably more than I needed anyway to start. And I had the rest of it in my hand and I didn't know what to do with it. It didn't have a wrapper. There was nothing to put it in. So I thought to myself, smartly, why would somebody sell me something that I couldn't eat the whole thing? So I popped the rest in my mouth, and about an hour later,
you were the ganja goo ball.
I literally turned into a ganja goo ball on the floor of my tent, and it was funny because we just so happened to be up against the like railing for the area that was the vaudeville tent.
Oh.
Or a vaudeville stage.
Oh,
sorry.
So, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back up.
Holy. What? You're not actually 150 years old, but you went to a festival that had vaudeville. So I'm questioning. Either you look fantastic for your age, or what the fuck was going on the vaudeville stage?
Was there a resurgence in ventriloquism at some point?
What is involved? Those are so
but what else
creepy.
Is vaudeville? Like a lot of jazz hands. Blackface? Oh, what? Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, very, very inappropriate.
What the fuck is the vaudeville stage? What does that mean?
It's just all the weird shit that didn't
accordions.
Belong on
I feel
any
like
other stage.
Accordions and lederhosen. Yes. At some point, it's basically everyone that then went to New York and settled in Williamsburg. Not the original settlers, but the second wave.
Those
of,
two, though, maybe
of hipsters.
Yeah. Yes.
That yep. have settled there and now have their own vaudeville stage.
Okay. So,
yes. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, yeah. It's just that intrigued me.
And and ventriloquist dummies, right. I think. That look exactly like them.
So you're
up against that.
Just completely out of your mind high watching a puppet show.
Yeah, I was literally hiding. I was hiding. I was hoping that nobody that I was with would come looking for me because I didn't know what I was going to do if they found me.
Oh,
so
no.
I was so because
you're like,
high.
I don't know that words are going to happen.
Right. And I knew it would pass. So people don't overdose on marijuana, generally right. speaking. That I don't know if there are any recorded cases.
There are none. Yeah.
None. No. So I just had to throw out that.
Yes, you are correct. There
I
is none.
Be factual and right. I don't want to lie. So
nobody listens to our show for facts. Just
yeah.
So
don't worry. You're fine.
You're fine. That, so, that is a fact. I've looked
like
it up.
We like to
but...
be fact adjacent.
Yes. Yeah. We say it often. If you're listening to us for facts, you are in the wrong fucking place. Don't do
that. So fact is, I knew it would pass, but I could not. It's a horrible feeling to be overdosed on cannabis in the way that your body has to process it. And
there's just really nothing you can
you
do.
You can't do anything.
Yeah, you got to wait it out. So I was waiting it out on the floor of my tent in the fetal position with the door cracked because it was like 110 degrees outside and inside a tent at that point with no shade. I was...
You're going to start hallucinating because then you're in a sweat right. lodge on top of being
right.
high.
Yeah, exactly. So looking out of my tent door that was cracked so I could get some air, I was watching the vaudeville stage and there are two...
That sounds horrible.
There were two people in dung beetle costumes.
This is my favorite part of this story.
What? Wait. What
is a dung beetle costume?
I have no
idea. Were they
fucking
pushing a
idea.
Giant boulder of poop? What
they
was happening?
Were.
They what?
Yes.
What?
They had a life-size human giant like 6 foot ball of poop
of that duty?
I was represented. I don't know. It probably wasn't actually poop, but okay. To me, I was like, it's, right. Oh dear Lord, right. This is fucking ridiculous. Right. Why am I here? So yeah, I mean, but I have that story to tell.
I mean, where are the Dung Beetle brothers now?
That's I mean, that's I would question. Like to know too. And what
have they taken
to
it
the
on
poop?
Tour?
Yeah. Was it papier-mâché right. that they made?
I just right. really wanted to
or was
say
it
like that.
Or was it another human dressed in a poop costume who got really dizzy? That person was really fucking high. They got a poop costume.
Okay. So anyway, yeah. Back to the Dung Beetles.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a show, and two human-sized dung beetles were pushing the ball of dung back and forth, and I wanted to die. So from that point on, never ate anything that I didn't know exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. And that took a while.
I bet.
Yeah. Like, you know, cannabis wasn't exactly recreationally legal in any state back
right,
then.
Right.
So
back in the vaudeville days.
Back
in the
wild. Yeah.
Maybe it was all the way back then, and right. then it got outlawed. No, it's back.
That's what, yeah, but actually it was. Wait, you're a time traveler?
Oh, my God. I felt like I was time traveling and not good. So, yeah, I just, you know, I since then married. I have been a longtime user of cannabis for a lot of different reasons, mostly anxiety, you know, masking my feelings, doing all kinds of crazy things.
Both when the healthy and unhealthy.
And
the unhealthy
right? Right. Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah. And as with anything, I mean, I say that about cannabis all the time. You know, anyone can abuse anything. You can abuse a Glade plug-in. I've seen that happen. People
my
do
children have huffed airway off of it.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, I'm not opposed to recreational cannabis at all. But
yeah.
I like that you made something that people can use for both.
Right. And when, you know, when you're a kid and you know that cannabis makes you feel better, just like anything that you're going to do when you're a
right.
kid, that's
mm-hmm.
not
right.
good for you
exactly.
necessarily. So, you know, it stuck with me. And when I was about to get pregnant with my first child, I quit. I was getting, I had a lot of anxiety, stopped smoking pot, using it in any capacity, had my first daughter. Nursed her to a year, was immediately pregnant with my second, nursed her to 10 months. And at about, when she was about a year old, my husband was sitting in bed smoking a joint. And I was like, just fucking give me that right now. So I started using cannabis again, having claimed my body back. Mm-hmm. And my sister, Laura, who is a wonderful human being and has been with me my whole life, obviously, because she's older. She, about, you know, when I had small children, she lived in Portland and she said, well, why don't you cook with it? You should use some butter, make some edibles. It's not smelly. It's discreet. So I started messing around with that. And in the process, did have too much, but not as much as the dung beetle incident.
The dung beetle incident.
That's just what that's going to be known
right,
for.
Yeah. So, right. yeah. So
and also probably the title of this episode.
Probably.
Yeah. Emily's shaking her head. Yep. Yes, definitely. Yep. The dung beetle incident. This is the name. Oh, yeah.
Thank God for yep. that.
It's sort of like the string cheese incident. Yeah,
yes.
It's very similar.
Very similar. Yeah.
Could have been.
Who were probably playing that show as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
They
along
were probably
with Fish.
On like oh, right. the bluegrass stage.
Right.
All right. Wait. So go. You cooked with it. By the way, Jill is such a good cook. She made me dinner last night for that matter. And that's something I love about your edibles is that I can't. Because sometimes when people use cannabis in recipes, it does not taste good. Like you can taste it and it is not good and you can't taste yours at all. And that I really like that. I mean, at all.
Well, so I started using butter. I infused butter at home. I would I would take it to my sister's house because she didn't have any kids and lived alone.
Right.
And would infuse it there. Go pick it up.
All you need is the kids having a dung beetle incident. So this is all bad.
Yeah. So when the kids went to sleep, I started experimenting with recipes. And the easiest thing that I found to make and store and be discreet with was a cookie. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, everything that I do with SDK is intentional. I have a small bite-sized cookie so you can put the whole thing in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And if the kids are, you know, sorry, it's all gone. Would you right. like a, you know,
right.
something
else? It's not something that you leave lying around. And it, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it was easy to store, hide, use discreetly. And so.
Well, the kids know, though, that you, your kids know.
They do now.
Yeah.
They
so did how did not that, back then. How did so that happen?
I honed it into a microdose before I even knew what a microdose was. I would experiment with making cookies, and they got smaller and smaller and smaller. And then I would cut them with regular butter and make them a less and less dose so that I could function. Okay. So I have small children. I have to be present. My husband needs to be present. So we're microdosers. So, cut forward to the, time when recreational cannabis was legalized
right.
in Oregon mm-hmm. and, it was coming up and it just was a no-brainer. We just felt like, you know, I had a really great product. How could it, you know, how could it, it's going to be so easy, right? Which right. was the, that is something that's been proven false.
Well, all over the cannabis business, nothing's easy anymore. I mean, let's be clear there.
Yeah, I was watching a Vice News thing on that, and they were talking about when, I think when it got legalized in Washington, mm-hmm. and just they didn't regulate how many there could be. So it was like, everyone was like, I'm going to become a cannabis farmer. And then there was just too much.
That's what's happening in Oregon right now, too. Right. It's oversaturation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've cut off process or producer licenses yeah. for now so they can produce less. Right. And
it'll happen here, too, California.
Oh, God. So my husband and I and our friend Jeffrey, who has a branding agency, were sitting together talking about branding for this cookie edibles company. And we had always hidden it from our kids. We hid our use. We hid our, you know, anything except for, hey, here's a documentary on cannabis use and what the benefits are. Mm-hmm. Come watch this with us.
Right.
You know, we just
I mean, that's one of the things that I definitely want to talk about. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, I'm sure that that people in our audience will be very, you know, either for or against.
Yes.
And that's cool either way. I'm sober, obviously, right. like over 8 years sober. But I also think that this is something that people are finding out more and more about yeah. how it's beneficial in so many ways for cancer patients, for yep. anxiety, for, you know, just a whole plethora of things that I don't think people really associated being able to use cannabis for previous to right. now. And I think more studies and things are and people also, you know, like you said, wanting to get away maybe from
pharmaceuticals
and things like that and exploring cannabis in a different way. And now that it's available as microdosing and things like that, I hope that, you know, this episode causes a conversation and
yeah.
that, you know, I would like to hear what people think because, you know, and Celia and I have talked about this before, you know, the mommy culture of like, oh, mommy needs her wine or like mommy's yeah. sippy cup with wine. Like that sort of, we all kind of go, oh, ha ha ha, mom needs to be
there's
drunk.
A wine brand out there that's called like mommy's time out mommy's or mommy's right. little helper or something
exactly.
like that.
And mm-hmm. hey, I, you know, look, parenting is not easy.
Yeah, I get it.
But I find it interesting that, you know, so many people like will be for that. But then, you know, microdosing of cannabis is right. like, wait, what? Oh my God, now you're, you know.
Well, you know, when I had a Yahoo news story done about me, which was called I think it was
The Dung Beetle Incident.
Yes, the Dung Beetle Incident. Where I was dressed up like
now.
A dung beetle right. and I was rolling a duty ball around. it was Weed in the American Family, I wanna say. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I came out like really publicly talking about you know, my use of cannabis as a mom and using it for anxiety and that I used it for postpartum right. depression. And people
I mean, I have
got
to say,
very
I think,
mad at me.
Well, but I think people are don't necessarily judge others for, you know, if they need to use any anti-anxiety no. meds or things like that. And I think it's kind of my personal opinion. And again, as somebody who's like sober, I sort of have this outside perspective of
right,
it.
Right, right.
Of, you know, I think whatever people use to treat their anxiety in a way that's healthy and productive for them, go for it. You
well,
know
you've
what I mean?
Seen me have full-blown panic attacks and then eat awful. One of her cookies and be okay 25 minutes later. Like, I think that's also the difference. Like, you know, you're not, I'm not somebody who's abusing stuff necessarily.
Right.
I don't think. Maybe my children, that's debatable. But everybody else.
Abusing your children.
Yeah,
like your children abusing the cookie. Okay, got it.
No,
just clarifying. Just clarifying, just being clear.
I could be abusive to my kids. It's I don't know, maybe.
No,
I
you're not. You're not.
I call them names sometimes.
Well, who doesn't? That's parenting.
Exactly. No, I use it for anxiety. And again, like Jill's product for me was a really big game changer because I don't like, I'm not a big joint smoker. I don't, mostly because I don't want the smell around the kids. But it was a big thing for me to decide whether or not I was going to tell my kids. And I'll be honest, part of the reason I decided to be really open with my kids about it was because what in the hell was the difference of having wine or booze or beer?
Right.
Like, we'll go to barbecues and people
beer,
are,
right.
yeah, all the adults are drinking and or drunk. And that's fine in front of kids. But me using any kind of cannabis in front of them is not fine. Like, I couldn't, that distinction seemed so fucking ridiculous
right.
to
and
me.
And I find groups of drunk people to be far more annoying.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. And alcohol can make you angry.
Yeah.
It turns you into
not
yourself.
Yeah, rarely, you know, you don't see a stoner getting in a fight.
Not usually.
Maybe over a box of Girl Scout cookies, but that's about it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, no one's getting kicked out of a bar.
No.
Punching the bouncer.
Well, you don't feel sick, and I don't, you know, like I...
Unless you
end up watching dung beetles. But, you know, I mean, I don't really drink very much because I don't love that. And actually drinking...
Every time you'll go out and have one beer and you text me and you go, why did I do that?
I feel like shit and it gives me anxiety and I can't sleep.
Mm.
And that's not...
Well, it's terrible for your... Like, alcohol is actually really... It's the worst
to go to
thing
bed with.
For your... Yeah.
Yep. Insomnia. It does. It's and the older I've gotten, the more I find that. And that's why I just don't drink very much anymore. But to have cannabis at night and, you know, and like know that I have that and or if I'm having a panic attack, which it's very good for.
Yeah.
I do have I will use a vape pen and use oil. But those... I mean, honestly, like that and your cookies are... pretty much my go-to with both things. And so did you end up, after you sort of educated them by slowly, passive-aggressively showing them documentaries,
yes.
did you end up having to tell them?
I know they know. We were in this meeting for this branding, you know, one of the branding meetings, and they were kind of walking around and kind of listening.
As kids do when they're like walking through a room, just listening to your conversation.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And at the end, we adjourned the meeting and they said, "Mommy, are you starting a bakery?" And I said, yeah, we are. And they said, "Oh, we can help." And I said, "No, you actually can't." And they were like, "Why?" And I said, "Well, because it's cannabis. It's legal marijuana that, and we're starting a business and it's absolutely inappropriate for children. It's dangerous. You know, it'll affect your brain development." You know, going into all of the reasons why. And, you know, I always told him, you'll get really, really sick because that's a deterrent, right?
Like,
And I don't leave it around. It's not available to them.
Yeah, mine's locked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, it's an education thing. I think that if kids know about something, it's better for them. They can, you know, education.
Well, I think this is kind of an interesting sort of segue into the topic of talking about drugs and alcohol with your kids.
Yes.
Because, you know, we forget, we're like, well, you know, so many people are like, well, how do you talk to kids about cannabis? I'm like, I don't know. How have you been talking to them about alcohol forever, which has been legal and is more dangerous and more prevalent in teenagers and young adults?
100%.
Binge drinking is horrific and has horrific consequences.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talk to my kids about it too. I go, look, they're adult things. Like, there are things out there that you just don't do at this age that when you get older, if you decide to do them responsibly and have fun, that's fine.
Right.
But I don't know what, it's always interesting to me that people are like, well, how do you talk to them? It's like, well,
just be honest.
Just be honest. Yeah. Just tell them, you know, like, here's the thing. This is not something that you need to do as a kid. Your brain is, and your body's still developing, like you said. And, you know, when you get to an age where you can make these decisions for yourself, if that's something that you want to do, then you're responsible about it. And you give them research and like, let them know what's going on.
I kind of have a weird story to tell you.
Ooh, you know how I love weird stories.
I do.
I expect nothing less from you. So please,
well,
go on.
You know, on one of the dating sites that I was on, somebody actually wrote that, you know, they really wanted a good recommendation for a all-natural deodorant. No joke.
Right.
And so I answered. And guess what I recommended?
Native.
That is correct. Native.
That is impressive. I love how almost everything now in your life is eventually coming back to Native deodorant.
I do too. But you know what? Why wouldn't it? It's so awesome. I mean, come on.
I love it too. It's very, I love the scents.
Well, it was kind of awesome because I got to like pitch it to him. Like I was like, hey, have you tried Native? And then I told him about all the reasons that it works because, you know, you have to switch from an aluminum-free deodorant. Because, you know, it's not probably very good for you as far as we know. And it totally works. And he had said in his statement that, you know, he'd never found one that worked. And I find that Native works. It has ingredients that I know. They're very simple. And it has something for everybody. It's got scents for men and for women. I have the kids now have some Native deodorant
in
my house.
Yeah, mine do too.
It's really awesome. And then, you know, those scents, I'm sorry, but the coconut and vanilla is so good.
I love that one.
Right? And then lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, eucalyptus and mint.
Ooh,
then they have the
minty
seasonal ones. Yeah, well,
I might, like it.
I don't know. Unfortunately, he did match with me and I wasn't actually interested in going on a date with him.
Just in recommending deodorant.
Yeah, but you know what was awesome? He spelled it right. I did not. No, I did. And but he thanked me for the recommendation, said it totally worked for him.
So, well, now we are recommending Native to our listeners.
We sure are. I love it. And if you would like to try it, then all you need to do is go to nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code SAYTHIS during checkout and you will get 20% off of your first purchase. That is nativedeodorant.com. I'm going to spell it nativedeodorant.com.
Woo-hoo!
Promo code say this and get 20% off at checkout. Cannot go wrong.
Nope, you can't go wrong. And you might be able to recommend it to somebody on Hinge. So there
or
you go.
Somewhere.
Right, yeah. Building relationships one armpit at a time. Kids are a lot smarter and more together than we think.
Yes.
And, you know, I've had the same conversation with my kids about sex. I'm like, look, if I don't tell you, somebody's going to tell you.
Right.
And that somebody is probably a peer who has no fucking clue what they're talking about. And, you know.
As Michelle Obama says.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They got no idea. And
right.
So I would rather have open conversations and, you know, be willing to talk to them about it.
Yep. And cannabis is... Don't nobody fool yourselves. It is readily available to children.
Oh
yep.
Yeah.
So my
just
oldest
like any drug. I mean, my God, in high school,
it's still happening.
Everybody was selling like, you know, acid and ecstasy and cocaine. Like, and this was in high school. Like, you could get anything you wanted at lunch hour.
Crest tops.
Sure. Yeah. So it's still happening. You've had that happen with your kids now?
Yeah. So Isabella was in sixth grade. She went to middle school.
Oh, my God.
And
brace yourself.
She came home. And I can turn this into a funny story, but it's, I mean, I was pretty horrified. So she came home and she said, Mom, kids are selling weed out of their lockers at school in film canisters. So
that shit even, was oregano. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you right now.
Where did they get film canisters anymore? That's more. I get where they get the weed. Where they? Who gets real film anymore?
That was my first.
Right. You're like this. There's so many things that are suspicious here. Who has film canisters?
Who has film canisters?
Wait, what? Yeah. That was your first question. How about the weed?
Nope.
Where'd you get the film canister?
They're in Oregon. Of course they can get weed. Where the hell did they get film? Who has a fucking camera anymore?
Anyway, serial killers. Yeah. Serial killers. That's who it was.
That's exactly right.
So my first reaction was still.
Yeah.
Like I used to buy weed in film canisters.
Same.
So that was horrifying. And
you can probably get them on Wish.com. I feel like you can get anything on Wish.com.
Well, the parents.
Your favorite. I mean,
yeah. If you're in sixth grade and you're selling weed in a film canister out of your locker, you're definitely picking that up from your parents.
Yeah.
Like, why? I mean,
yeah, that's weird.
Why? I can't even imagine.
Did their parents have lockers?
No, I'm just kidding. So,
somewhere,
you know,
somewhere, right.
My response was, well, that's not good, you know, and do you know who the kids are? And you should just not have anything to do with that. You know, just stay away from that. And
I remember I had a story in eighth grade. Somebody was selling weed in middle school. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And now I'm thinking about all this stuff. I'm like, my kids are already here. Oh, boy. Anyway. Somebody was selling weed. Somebody had weed.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was in and out of school all the time and my locker was close to a bunch of friends' classrooms, they were like, hey, can I use your locker?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. You know where this is going. So I was like, yeah, sure. No problem. Well, dun-da-da, someone had weed in my locker and I
your locker was the dispensary.
Fucking God, it wasn't mine. Because I was actually, it was eighth grade. I was still had my shit together. But it wasn't mine. And and I got pulled in the office.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I haven't even been here. What's going on?
Yeah,
they're like,
we
found weed in your locker. I'm like, I saw what? 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 It's not mine. It's weird. It's not mine. I don't know what's happening. So turns out it was a friend of mine who had the weed, who put it in my locker. And of course it smelled. And then somebody, it was a whole thing. And some other kid ratted her out and all this stuff. But it was my locker. And my mom was so pissed at me. She was like, this is why I told you not to let anyone use your locker. And it was one of those lessons that you don't learn until shit happens that that's why you told me. And I know, I'm sure I'm going to tell my kids the same fucking thing. And something is going to happen at some point where I'm going to go, see, I learned this lesson. I was trying to help you.
Right.
And now you had to learn it too.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, when I was 20,
but it wasn't in a film canister, though.
Yeah. Oh, mine. All right. So when I was 22, I already graduated from college and I lived, I was living at home. Like I just moved home just to I think I was only there for like a few weeks before I was like looking for my apartment in, you know, Connecticut or whatever. And my mom and my stepdad went through my purse. They were looking for something and they found my film canister of weed. I was 22. And I walked downstairs and I went to go find them in a room. And on the shelf, as I walked by, out of the corner of my eye, saw it. They had like taken it out and like put it there. I was 22 years old.
It's like our friend's story, who I'm not going to name her name because I don't know, but who her mom found her quote unquote her bang.
Yes.
She called it her bang.
Yep.
Because she didn't know it was called a bong.
Yep.
And she found her bang under the bed.
Yep. And put it out.
And put it outside in the trash. Never said anything to our friend, to her daughter. Never said anything to her. And she, our friend went to, go take out the trash, opens the lid, and there it is sitting on top of the trash. So she just picked it up, took it back in the house, but cleaned it up. But come to find out her mom was calling it her bang. So she was like, I found your bang. And her mom was, and our friend was like, my bang? What are you talking about? Like there was other things I guess it could have meant, but my bang. She was like, yeah, I know that you're smoking marijuana. Oh, got it. Okay, right.
Well, when I saw it on my parents' shelf, I walked in and I was like, well, I like remember looking at it. I'm 22. And I was like, fuck. And then I thought, well, fuck it. I'm 22. What am I hiding about? Right. So I picked it up and I walk in and I look at them and they're sitting like, you know, cross armed and they're fucking furious. And I just go, you guys found this? And they were like, yes. And they just start railing into me. And I just became 10 years old. And I go, it's not mine. I walked getting
no matter how old you get when you get caught by your parents doing something, it's not mine.
And they're like, who's this? I'm like, a friend gave it to me to hold because she was afraid that her parents were gonna find it. So I said that I would take it for me, and now you're gonna blame it on me, but it's not mine. It's not mine. I was 20 fucking two, and right. I had gone in there with all the like righteous indignation to be like, why are you looking in my purse? And then right away I was like, I didn't do it.
Not mine.
Years later, my stepfather was like, hey, remember when that happened? You know, he's like, was that actually yours? And I was like,
no.
Of course it was.
Like, you should have still been like, no, someone asked me to hold it.
No, I was like, stick, fuck it, was
stick
mine.
Stick to the story, Celia. God.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know anything?
Actually, I will also tell you this. My stepdad, who was a pretty prominent musician in the 60s and 70s, so could spot and smell marijuana a million miles away. One time I came home I was in college again, but I'd come home and I was obviously high and I smelled like, you know, pot and whatever. I'd walked back from my friend Sam's house and I walked in the door and my mom, is like totally straight laced, never done anything, but she just kind of thought something was off. And so she goes, you know, well, that's what happens, I guess, when you're really high at Samantha's house. And I was like, what? I'm not high. And she goes, Harvey, come here, go, come look at her. Tell me if she's high. And he got right in my face, stares at me, and he's like, let me smell your breath. And I'm like, fuck. So I just open my mouth. I'm like, and he just looks at my mom. He's like, nah, she's good. My mom leaves. Harvey was on this really, really strict diet at the time. My mom wouldn't let him eat anything. He just looks at me and he goes, tomorrow I want a double Whopper with cheese. I want fries. I want left on the basement steps right there by my studio. And we're never going to talk about this again. Do you understand me? And I was like, yes, sir. And I fucking left. And it was amazing. Like an offering. Like I was like, here.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And that was like when I was like, peace out, Harvey. I got you.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Got out of it. But I had to hide it. And my kids know, obviously, same. I say the same thing to them. Right. They obviously can't use it. I talk to them a lot about it being a medicine. It's one of those things that, you know, doubles as a medicine. And obviously you can use it recreationally to relax. And we talk about, you know, things are childproof. Just because something makes you feel better, your antibiotic is childproof, your Tylenol is childproof. Right. You wouldn't go into those things, you're not going to go into this. So I think, you know, that's like a big thing. And I love what you're doing. I'm going to touch on the other part of cannabis, which is CBD, which is obviously taking over the world right now.
Yeah.
But because Jill and I became such good friends, we're both moms and we both have the same feelings on cannabis, we decided to launch our CBD business together, which you can talk about if you want.
Well,
you make it. I don't even know what I help with anymore, honestly. I don't know.
Well, CBD is amazing. Yeah, so Celia and I have Mellow Out Mama is the brand.
M-O-M.
Yeah, so it becomes mom.
Yeah, we call it the mom brand when we talk about it and work on it, which is often. We're going to launch product soon. It's CBD only, THC free for anything that you will ingest. And topicals have a little THC in there, but it's hemp. So in order to qualify as hemp legally, it has to have less than 0.3%.
0.03, I thought.
Yeah, 0.03% THC. But that little teeny tiny bit helps the CBD
for the
work.
Topical.
Yeah. And it doesn't come up in a drug test. So,
and a topical, people that don't
CBD
know,
is
like
amazing.
A lotion.
My mom has started using it for like shoulder
she
stuff.
She tried our stuff.
She has tried your stuff. It's great. And it's incredibly helpful and, you know, for inflammation and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we have candy and drops that are also coming out that you can ingest. I've given them to both of my kids, the CBD, when they've both had anxiety or you know, not feeling well, start to get run down, that kind of stuff. And they both really like it. I see a huge difference, especially in Harper with the hormones. It seems to help a lot. We sort of wanted to make a line that moms felt safe with. So we also,
CBD is completely THC free. So it's not.
And legal.
No.
And it's hemp derived. We have to say that. It's hemp derived.
Yes. It is. It's a hemp extract.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot going on and changing. And I know from the legal cannabis world how things change so quickly and dramatically from one day to the next that, you know, we're evolving with it. At least we have the operational experience and knowledge of product and, you know, knowledge of rules and all of these things that regulations that we, you know, we're confident in our abilities to
make a quality product. I mean, I trust, and that's the other thing I will say is that, you know, with the Lil Mamas, we were the first mainstream mom blog to approve any sort of cannabis related products. Mm-hmm. And Jill was one of our first. It was, you know, for SDK. And it was a no brainer because she also uses oil from the Lil Mama approved cannabis farm that we gave that stamp to, which is Moto Perpetuo Farm, which Jill has their stamp on her labels for her packaging.
They listen to the show, don't they?
And they do listen to the show. I was just going to say that.
They're friends of Celia's and I know sort of through Celia. And hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Everyone in the trim room, we're told. I saw Vanessa left a comment on Apple Podcast that they all listen. Tony, I love you. You text me whenever you love our episodes. Tony, a.k.a. Nama, sends me. And the whole family lives there, which I love. So it's the Hoyles that own that. And Lori and David Hoyle are amazing human beings. And I also just want to say that Moto and Jill and my friends at Empower all really stepped up when my sister was sick.
Yeah.
And donated a lot of stuff to her to make her feel better. And I'm trying not to cry. But by the end, it was Moto's products and Jill's cookies and crackers specifically were some of the only things that Julie could get down.
Yeah.
And because if you've ever seen anyone fight cancer, you know how unbelievably painful it is to watch someone that you love feel just fucking horrible and not be able to eat for days. Yeah. And there was times that Julie honestly couldn't eat at all. And I would get her to eat some of Jill's cookies or crackers and then, you know, find her in the kitchen making ramen at 3 o'clock in the morning and being thrilled that she was eating anything. Yeah. Moto had things delivered to her frequently and would take requests and get her stuff that she wanted. And I will never forget that from any of them. So I love you guys at Moto a lot. And you guys have been so supportive of my family. So I do want to say that. Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that, and I will say, you know, again, as somebody who doesn't use it, but is a big supporter of it,
right.
I think it's an important conversation. And I'm glad that it's getting more out there because, I mean, you know, people that are suffering from cancer and all this kind of stuff, like it's really important for them to have stuff like this and to be able to talk about it and to be able to use it without judgment the same way that they would any sort of pharmaceutical stuff.
Right.
So I'm glad that you talked about that and how it helped your sister how it has helped, you know, you and you with anxiety and the CBD with your kids. Like there's a lot of really great stuff out there and products out there that I am so excited that the conversation's kind of finally happening.
Yeah. I will say because things are oversaturated, please do your research about CBD specifically. We were just talking about this yesterday. There are some unsafe sources in there. You got to read labels. Go find places that you love. It's why, you know, we gave the stamp out and I've been to Moto many times. Mm-hmm. I know that they are organic and they are, you know, just so unbelievably anal about what they'll put on the market. That should be, and I know Jill is as well, that should be what you guys are looking for with anything else. Like you want to know what you're putting into your body.
Yeah.
So be responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah. SDK is all gluten-free. Anything that is gluten-free.
Yep.
We use local ingredients, Bob's Red Mill dry ingredients and Dairy Gold butter and
Dairy Gold butter. I swear to God, I could eat like a stick of so Dairy Gold butter. It's so good.
I had to stop eating a stick because
like, you're 109.
Well, it's very hard to perform in those vaudeville shows when you're, you know, when
you couldn't be a dung beetle again. Can we talk about the holidays?
Ooh,
I know it's early.
I know, but not that early.
It's really not. But you know what? I think that everybody needs to get photo ready with their smile. And, you know, why not start that now with getting the very easy clear aligners from Candid?
Oh, you know what? So many people take pictures with their mouth closed at the holidays and they don't really let themselves smile because they're self-conscious about it, which is a shame.
It is a shame. And with Candid's aligners, you can straighten your teeth faster than with traditional wire braces, which I had and were, you know, terrible. The treatment only takes about 6 months on average. And an experienced orthodontist who's licensed in your state creates a custom treatment plan Then they show you a 3D preview so you can see how your teeth will look after you're done.
Ooh, the magic of 3D previews.
Right? They're comfortable, removable, and completely invisible, which is, you know, you can smile, which is awesome.
Yeah.
They ship directly to you. There's no hassle of going to an orthodontist's office. And Candid costs 65% less than braces.
And braces are expensive.
They are so expensive. Harper's probably going to need some Candid soon.
Oh, yeah.
With each aligner purchased, Candid donates $25 to Smile Train.
$25.
$25, yes, sorry, to Smile Train, who brings safe 100% free cleft lip and palate treatment to children around the globe.
Oh, that's so important.
Yeah, I love
so
that
important.
About them.
Yeah,
I think
me
that's
too.
That's so great. So you have to get your photo-ready smile by the holidays. And if you need to do that, then you got to go to candidco.com/say this and use code say this to get $75 off. That's a really good deal.
Yeah, it is.
That is candidco.com/say this, code say this for $75 off. One more time. That's Candid. That's C-A-N-D-I-D. co.com/say this, code say this.
And you too can smile pretty at your Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays or Hanukkah or whatever. Just smile, damn it. Just smile.
Yay!
So,
yes.
Fail mail.
We've got a bunch of funny, silly things.
Yeah, we've been getting some great stories from our listeners, which is making us feel oh so much better and not alone in our craptastic parenting moments that we have and share with you. So now you're sharing them with us.
Okay, this one I'm going to be totally honest. She wrote me, it took me a minute to like get it, and then when I got it, I was like, "Oh my god."
Okay.
All right. I'll just use first names, but she says, my name is Melissa and I have a 19-year-old daughter. My daughter was 15 when this happened. My daughter and I were going home from work and school and we were waiting for the bus when we both said we were hungry. So behind us, there's a Chinese restaurant and I sent my daughter in to go and buy some French fries. She comes out with barbecue sauce all over the fries and I hate barbecue sauce. And I'm looking at her like, hello, what about me? And she didn't say a thing. All of a sudden I turned to her and I said, I should have swallowed you. And she gives me the, oh my God, look. And then I just started laughing so hard because I couldn't believe it came out of my mouth. We speak about this all the time and she laughs now. But I know that she was unbelievably shocked. Love your show. Thank you. Oh,
that's amazing.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what did she say? Like, I read it three times because I was like, I'm not reading that right. And then,
you got it though, right?
I got it.
It took you three times?
I just couldn't believe that's actually what she meant. And it flew out of her mouth. I can because I've come close to doing stupid crap
right.
But I, thank you for owning it. That's brilliant.
Oh, that poor, right? Uh-huh. But seriously. Fuck her.
I know.
Barbecue sauce
That's
all over
she was
the fries.
So mad.
Who puts barbecue sauce on their fries?
And you know she paid
Ranch
for it.
Ranch is fine. Mayo is best.
Yeah. Ketchup. I just want ketchup on mine.
I just want mayo. I do it the European style.
God, you and golly. I went out with her the other day.
Good.
She's German, you know.
She's very German.
You have, you had what? A craptastic kid? Or do you want me to go first?
Friday.
Okay.
Friday was a day.
Oh, right. Okay.
But I have my kids every other weekend. I mean, I have them during 2 days during the week and then every other weekend I share custody with their dads. So every other Friday when we have Friday tape nights at Fuller House, I get to bring my kids. And it's, you know, I mean, our set is very much a family environment. Everyone brings their kids. We've got kids on the show. It's people that I've known forever, you know. So the kids are, they get to go hang out in the schoolroom with the kids on the show with, you know, Elias and Michael and Sony and them. And they run around, they go to craft service and whatever. But they, you know, they're usually pretty good. They're usually, they go to the audience for like the first scene and then they come and hang out in my dressing room.
Right.
Well.
Uh-oh.
Friday. Rachel's laughing because they saw me come unhinged. and they saw my children come unhinged.
Oh, no.
So apparently, I wasn't present for the incident.
Oh.
sans dung beetles, but it was, but they were pretty shitty. I'll give you that. All I know is I'm sitting down and they have there's like an audience break where they give the audience time to like go to the bathroom and they bring out like little snacks for them or whatever because it's a long tape night. So I'm sitting down by the set, whatever, on my phone, and Elias comes up to me and he's like, "I just need to tell you something that happened." Uh-oh. And I was like, oh shit, boy. And he's like, Jody, I'm not lying to you. I promise this is how it went down. And I was like, okay.
Third party.
Right. So apparently the children got into a physical altercation in the schoolroom.
With each other?
Yes. It started with name calling. I think the little one freaked out because the older one was picking on her. Little one freaked out. Older one threw a squishy at her face and hit her in the eye.
I'm sorry.
I know. And repeatedly kept throwing squishies and then be attacked like a wild fucking wombat just went at her sister, right? And then Elias had to get in the middle of them with a chair.
Oh, no.
And things got knocked
over. He's like a lion tamer.
It was, yes. Yes. And he had to come tell me the story that my children were being ridiculous at work.
Oh.
So I'm like, thank you very much, sir. I will deal with this in a moment. So do my scene because I'm at work.
Right. And you got an audience.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Do my thing. Go back up to my room to where I find them because he had to go get my nanny to go get them out of the schoolroom and break them up. And like, were your parents there? Yeah, my parents were there, but they were outside in the school. The schoolroom is like right outside of the stage. And so they were out there, and apparently, like, B's shoes got thrown out of the school. Like, so many things happened.
Oh, my God.
And so I come in, and I'm hot, right? I am hot. And I just come in, I'm like, what happened? And I find out from another third party that, you know, who started it.
Uh-oh.
And it was, right. So we know who started.
I'm sure I did.
Right. So I tell B, I'm like, you can go play for a little bit. Then I take Zoe out into the hallway.
Oh.
In between all the dressing rooms. At this point, I'm like, whatever. These people are all family. I don't give a shit. We've all had to yell at our kids in front of each other. So I'm like, I don't know what is wrong with you, but you have embarrassed yourself. Like, I just went off.
Right.
And I knew she was guilty because she didn't really fight me on anything.
Like, she had too many witnesses,
I did. The second that I walked into the room, she kind of quickly made eye contact with me and just looked down. And I was like, oh, yeah, you fucked up, didn't you? Like, you knew it. You're not even going to try and argue. So I pulled her down the hallway and I was like, that's it. I'm done. She's like, this isn't fair and it's not. And I was like, I don't give a shit if it's fair or not. I don't care. Get back in my room. Do your homework. That's it. So then, whatever, then B comes back in for something, and then they start getting into it again. I said, You know what? You're going home. I'm done. Like, I get that you guys like to come in here and have fun. This is my work.
Right.
You're going home. B lost it.
Oh.
Complete meltdown.
Oh.
Like, on the ground. Wouldn't get up. Swatting me away because she didn't want to leave because now this isn't fair and the injustice of it all. And and I'm like, get up. Get up.
You went down.
If flames could have come out of my fucking ears, they would have. Mind you, poor Rachel is my manager, God, is there. My agent Stella's there. Oh. And now I've known them for years and years. They've known my kids.
And
they
have
kids and nieces and nephews. My mom is in there.
Oh,
my,
no.
So I get the up off the ground and I'm like, you are leaving. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm like, you are going. Stephanie and my nanny and Zoe by this time had already boogied downstairs because Zoe was like, okay, cool. Like, she knew she was fucked and just wanted to get out of the room. Wasn't even going to fight me on it. So she went out. I'm trying to get B together. Finally, my mom had to come snatch at me. Oh, yeah. Grammy got involved. So she had to come snatch at B and was like, you are not doing this. And we are going downstairs and you are not crying the whole time we go downstairs. You are keeping it together. And I was like,
damn, Janice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was.
Sweet.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I've been on the other side of that one. I know that's not fun. And I was like, you better pull it together. And they did, man, because when Grammy and Pa get mad at them, forget it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
over. So anyway, they go outside. My mom escorts B out to where the car is.
Oh, my God.
Gets out there and just lets them have it.
Like, she did?
Oh, yeah. I am so disappointed in you, and this is not how you act. You guys might be here to have fun, but this is your mom's work. Like, let them have
Describe
it.
What I look like right now.
And Celia is literally bouncing up and down with a giant smile on her face.
It's like giddy.
It's like giddy,
it's the
yeah.
best thing I've ever heard.
And so she goes off, and then my mom comes in and she goes, after all that, be standing there crying, losing it. And Zoe turns to her and goes, do you want some water?
Aww.
Because she knew she fucked up. That's why.
I
know.
She could have been like a,
Yeah, right.
Harper would have been like,
Zoe knew this she was screwed. So all weekend, like not even all weekend, but we were better. But Saturday morning, I was just so, I didn't even want to look at them. I was like, I was texting my mom and I said to her, you know, I finally understand what it means to love your children so much, but you absolutely don't want to look at their face.
Uh-huh.
And my mom just texted back and said, I'm so glad that I lived long enough to hear you say that.
Amen.
And my mom's birthday was Thursday. She was like complaining about that she felt old. You know, she was like, it was all worth it.
Just for that.
Just to hear you say that I relate. Because I remember my mom saying that, like, I love you. I don't want to look at your face right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, yeah. I didn't understand. Saturday morning, they were asking me for shit. I was giving them one word answers from my bed. And I was like, don't even think about coming up here. Don't even come in my room right now. I don't want to look at you. And they were like, oh, okay. But let me tell you what Saturday morning was. Fucking peaceful.
Yeah, I bet. They were afraid of you.
They were so terrified of me.
They were terrified, yeah.
I was like, hey, we're going to get ready. We're going down to Grammy's for her birthday. So I need you to do this. I need you to do this. We're going to do... Okay, Mom. Right away. Went and did it. No arguing. No problems.
That's amazing.
So it is possible. They just don't do it.
No. No, that's the whole thing.
And that pissed me off even more.
I know.
Because then we're leaving the house. I went, you know what? Now that I know you guys can do this and you just don't, I'm fucking pissed at that.
This is your airing of grievance, by the way.
This is my, right?
You have
this
it
is
today.
An airing of grievance by me to management, also me.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. But that I took the phones. I was like, that's it. Your phone's gone.
Oh,
electronics
yeah.
are gone. Everything. She'll see that phone sometime next week. Like, I was done. And then they started in. I went out to dinner with my parents for my mom's birthday on Saturday. And they started in. B was in the back. B wanted to switch seats with Zoe in the van. B wanted to sit all the way in the back because Zoe got to sit all the way in the back on the way there. Zoe started complaining. I said, just switch. Okay, fine. And she was fine about it. Just moved B's car seat in the back, whatever. And then B had this like sort of Rubik's Cube type puzzle thing that was in the back seat. And Zoe was like, hey, can I see that? Asked super nicely. B was like, no, it's mine. No. Anyone teach you? Yeah. And
it's when they sound like the seagulls.
That's when they sound, yeah. Uh-huh. No, mine, yep. mine. Mm-hmm. Right. And my dad just turns around to Bea and goes, you know what, Bea? Quit being a little shit and give it to your sister.
And Sam!
Yeah. Oh, he was. And Mike, when Pa yells at them, like, if you think Grammy's bad, they expect it from Grammy event. At some point, they know Grammy's going to yell. They think they could just murder a puppy in front of Pa and nothing would happen.
Oh, my God.
Well, let me tell you, kids, that's not true. Pa was not having it. And he said that to Bea, and she was just like, okay. And she, like, sat in the back and, like, put her hand
You need to get a recording
face.
Of that and just right? play it.
And I, yeah, and he, and there was something else that happened, too. My dad just yelled at him, like, knock it off. Sick of you two. And he was just over them. Like, everyone was just over it.
I'm going to send my kids to your parents' house.
Do it.
Seriously.
Yeah, they're great. Because they will spoil the shit out of them until they don't.
Yes.
Until they're like, nope.
That's why grandparents have the power.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do. They have power.
Yeah. So that was my airing of grievances, craptastic parenting moment, and shitty kids all wrapped into one.
I like it. I liked it a lot. I have two.
I didn't. This weekend,
I know,
was like,
I'm sorry.
I woke up this morning like, why am I just cranky? I woke up this morning just cranky and hating everyone. Like I said,
which you texted me.
I text you. Uh-huh. Well, because I felt bad because I was giving you like one word answers and I was like,
I know when it's something like
I know,
that.
But
you'd never have to explain that to me.
Yes, I do, because you text me and you go, you hate me, don't you? And I go, no, I don't. So yes, I do.
That's
have to
true.
Do
I do that.
Does she do this to you, Jill?
Yes, yeah. I have gotten the you hate me
text.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I don't hate you. I just hate
when
everyone.
I have my period, everybody hates me. Right. That's what I decide.
But anyway, so that was my thing. So what's the airing of grievance?
I don't have an airing of grievance. I have two different craptastic parenting moments. It's actually hard to like pick which one I want to give you. I think I'm just because we're into things and things being thrown. I'll give you one on my Friday night or Thursday night. And it was Lulu had freaked the fuck out because there was a water bug. AKA one of those gigantic motherfucking cockroaches in the shower. She is the only one that saw this, by the way. So I just hear like the screech and then she runs downstairs and she's like, there's a water bug. And I can't deal with them either. So I call Brantley, my neighbor, and Elizabeth, and they come over with a dustbuster and a broom, and they're like going to do it for me because I can't fucking handle it.
No.
It's gone. Like, we can't, it's just gone. It went back up the little drain spout thing, whatever. Fine. The next goddamn day, Lulu needs to take a shower. And she won't get in the fucking shower because there was a cockroach in there. Then I hear Harper screaming at her upstairs as I'm trying to make like this really like nice dinner that's three fucking courses that I'm going to end up burning. And they're upstairs screaming at each other for my goddamn children.
Why would you do that?
Because I had a moment of like, I love my kids so much. I'm going to make them fried chicken and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, invite me over you guys. Next time.
I'm going to. And like, fuck you. You're getting frozen dinners next time. They're upstairs. And apparently all hell's breaking loose because Harper has caught Lulu trying to shove toilet paper into this drain and the spout to block where a cockroach may or may not come out, like a water bug will come out. And all that's doing is flooding the bathroom. And then Lulu, we've like a sort of a bench in the back of the shower, is sitting there and it's not, and all the water's coming out of the shower onto the floor. And so Lulu gets out butt naked, runs downstairs and is sopping wet and is like, Harper's yelling at me. And I said, what the hell are you doing up there? I don't want to shower in there because there are cockroaches. I'm like, no, there's not. I was like, everybody look, get upstairs, go in the shower right now. She goes upstairs. 5 seconds later, I hear Harper screaming again about something. So I mean, they hear me coming because I like walk like Godzilla on purpose I'm like, God, and I'm mumbling up the stairs. What the fuck is going on up here? What if someone's going to get in trouble? And I see it. And Lulu has the fucking shower open again. She's sitting like in on this like bench part. Right. All the water's pouring onto the floor, like all over my bathroom floor. And I'm like, God damn it. And I said, get underneath that water. And I go to close the shower and I'm so angry at her. And I keep like a sponge and like the shower spray there. So after I shower, I can wipe everything down. And I just pick up the wet sponge and I look at her and I go, I'm just, this is, but, and I threw the sponge at her. Chucked it right at her little naked body where it suctions cups itself to her for a good like 3 seconds. And we both stare at each other and then it just goes like bloop. But I'm so mad at her. And she's like, oh, you just threw a sponge at me. And I go, I know. That's how mad I am. And I can't now use the sponge to clean up any of the water either because now it's like even more wet. So then Harper helped me.
I thought you were
going
to say you came in to yell at him and just slipped and fell on your ass.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing that I fucking didn't. And then later on, I apologized to her and I go, I'm like, listen, I'm really sorry. I threw the sponge at you. I was really angry. You like were flooding the bathroom. It's not okay. And she just goes, that's okay, mommy. People have thrown worse things at me before. And I was like, well, not me.
Right.
No. Have I? Who? I don't know. She's like, so-and-so threw a paper airplane at my head. And I was like, yeah, I think the wet sponge is
it right?
Yeah. Whatever. So yeah, that was my craptastic parenting moment. I was ragey and she's lucky I didn't smack her because I really wanted to. And I did not. I just threw a fucking wet sponge at her and stuck to her little naked body.
This is your business partner, Jill. Congratulations. <She knows. laughs>
Yep.
Sponges and all.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, why don't we let people know where they can go find ahead and
all
find
of
us
stuff?
Yeah.
Well, first, I'm going to tell you guys where you can find Mellow Out Mama, which is on Instagram. It's just Mellow Out Mama. We never had any kind of problems with that. And I think that's the same on Twitter, believe it or not.
Yay.
Instagram, Facebook, all just Mellow Out Mama. You can also find Jill at Is it STK or is it? Yeah, it
D,
is, right?
D as in dog. Yeah. Because it sounds like you're saying STK.
Oh, yeah. No, SDK.
SDK as in she don't know. At SDKsnacks.com. At SDKsnacks on Instagram, Twitter, and I think on Facebook.
Right.
Look at these people with their.
I know. They know all their stuff.
Easy. Yeah, but with their easy Instagram, Twitter.
I know.
Everything's the same.
We mentioned Empower. You can find them at Empower. You can find Moto Perpetual Farm at Moto Perpetual Farm on Instagram and maybe Facebook. I have no idea. You can find us at Never Thought I'd Say This on Facebook and Instagram.
Don't even worry
about the others. About Twitter. I'm done. And you can email us at neverthoughtid@protonmail.com.
Woohoo!
Is that right?
Yep.
Holy shit.
Don't look at me. I just say woohoo and Emily gives us a thumbs up.
Well, Emily said it's okay, so it's okay.
Okay. Woohoo. It's good. Anyway. All right. Well, join us for another exciting episode of Never Thought I'd Say This next week.
And then we say.
And then, right. Just, you guys, just keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.